But one thing I know for sure is this. I don't want this year, I don't want next year to be like this year. Now you say, why is that, Pastor Rick? That's just my introduction. I don't even got to my notes yet. Just because I believe I can do better next year. I think I can love more, give more, bless more, and do more for Christ than I'm doing this year. And that's my prayer. Lord, let me be available. Allow my spirit to feel the needs of other people and the hurt and pain that other people have instead of worrying about my own. Sometimes we can get caught up on our own pain and suffering. We don't see that those that we love the most are hurting the most, much more than we are. So I'm going to ask God to make me more sensitive, more alert. Ask God to just show me where I can be a better person. Amen? Amen. I don't think that's a resolution. That's just what I believe. Because if I said it was a resolution, it wouldn't happen. Amen? All right. Well, our message today is your appointment with a miracle. Your appointment with a miracle. Our text today will be in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. That's 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. We'll get there in just a minute, but I'll let you go ahead and put a marker there so we can get back to it in a little while. What are you sure of? What is something you're sure of? Are you sure this is a pulpit? That's pretty easy, isn't it? You can be sure of this a pulpit. That this is a pulpit. What else are you sure of? I'm sure of that's my wife of 34 years. I'm sure of that. Okay. What else are you sure of? Randy, what are you sure of? Yourself? Sure of yourself? You can trust yourself? Sometimes? You know, I'm wondering about spiritual things, what we can trust ourselves with. You know, it's easy to trust something you see that's an object. I can tell you this is a coat. It's once a month, once a year, it works. I'm not heavy on, I don't like having coats very much, but I do it occasionally. But I know it's a coat. But what I'm trying to get at is, what do we really know about the spiritual things? Where are we at spiritually today? Where are we at, and what are we able to do with God, what God's given us in our spiritual walk? Because without the spiritual walk, we'd be wondering what to do. We'd be lost because we know the power of Spirit guides us and directs us. So my sermon today, your appointment with a miracle, when I say miracle, how many think of a physical miracle? Most of you probably went right to physically, a miracle physically of some kind. But God does miracles every single day. Asteroids are not hitting the earth. That's a big one. Hello? I bet you don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, please, as I'm giving you my prayers this morning, stop the asteroids. Oh, God, this morning when I get up, please stop all the planets from spinning out the wrong way and causing a catastrophe. We don't worry about those things, do we? Do they exist? Yes. Do we worry about them? No, because why? They're not a part of our everyday life, are they? But God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And so we're going to learn today that God has a plan for us to be able to be have an appointment with a miracle. Now, there can be all kinds of miracles. I mean, how many got in their car and came this morning and didn't get wet? They didn't have to walk. Is that a miracle? Where did all that come from? God provides. It's a miracle I didn't eat all three of those pies. Well, I plan to work on it some more this afternoon. Now, that'd be a qualified miracle, but you know what? It could be called a miracle. It could be called gluttony, too, whichever fits. But God wants us to be people who are looking for, acting in, and doing miracles. I don't think miracles for the church is something of the past. I don't think God said, well, I did some miracles with the disciples. I'm done. Mm-mm. If that was true, there would be no church. Because the fact that you're here, saved and born again, is a miracle. A lot of things had to happen before you could say, I'm saved. A lot of things, a lot of miracles had to take place. Matter of fact, when God saved me, he had to go on vacation. I wore him slap dab out. He had to change everything in me, my heart, my life, everything had to be totally changed. I mean, in my year annual, high school annuals, picture annual, it said that I'm not likely to live. Least likely to live. They knew me. That's pretty correct. But there's miracles. God had a miracle in my life. I transcended. I found Jesus. And a miracle took place in my life. Every one of us can say we have a miracle in life. How can we deny miracles if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Woo! Now I'm trying to get myself talked up here and warmed. I need your help getting me warmed up here now. All right, let's get into this. Are you sure you know that you're saved? Are you sure? And I've been talking about it. Are you sure of your salvation? Because if you're sure of your salvation, then you understand something about miracles. Because your salvation was a miracle of God. Amen? God is a God of miracles. Say it with me. God is the God of miracles. Now, that probably rubs somebody wrong. I don't know why it should, but it would rub somebody wrong. Because they don't believe in miracles today. He is the Lord God Almighty. The entire universe was created by the power of His spoken word. Do you understand the power He has? The whole universe was created by the spoken word. His every character in nature is miraculous. He rules over the heavens and the earth, and nothing is too difficult for Him. How many things are too difficult for Him? Nothing. Woo! Nothing is too difficult for Him. Grab a hold of that for a while. Think about it. What is your worst pain? What is your worst suffering? What is your worst problem? And to God, it is nothing. Nothing is impossible with Him and working in you and through you and helping you and guiding you and directing you. The same God is your Heavenly Father. He loves you, cares about you, wants good things for you. As a child of God, you have access to all He is and possesses, including His miraculous working power. Woo! All He is. Folks, we don't realize how much authority we have in the Lord. This same God and your Heavenly Father loves you, cares about you, wants good things for you. As a child of God, you have access to all He is and possesses. How much does God possess? Everything. And if He has everything and He's given it all to you, how much do you have? Everything. Man, now the devil's going to come here in a little bit and try and stir you up and tell you that ain't true. But I know one thing, it's written in God's Word, it's the truth. That is that process, the possessions of God is there for us to use anytime we have need of them. God has never stopped stepping into the circumstances of people's lives with mighty life-changing miracles. And you can experience a miracle from anyone. You can experience a miracle from Him today. How many here has experienced a miracle from God? There's a lot of hands up there. I can raise my hand. I experienced a miracle last year. I know many of you others have had the same situation I was in, and God got you through your surgery, and you're a miracle today. You had hope when there was no hope. And there's no chance. I've seen miracles. I've witnessed miracles. We had a little girl in our children's church. She was a cowgirl. Anybody know what a cowgirl is? Her dad had mules and horses. And she came to church one Sunday and her whole face was swollen. A mule had kicked her, hit her in the shoulder and glazed up her head. And her head was swollen. Her shoulder was swollen. She came to children's church and she said, "Would you guys pray for me?" She said, "The mule kicked me." And we got the children's church kids to gather around her, and we all laid hands on her. We started praying for that little girl that the healing would process would take place. And God must have been in a hurry, because when we took our hands back and we looked at her, she was totally healed. I'm telling you, church, her face was as normal. There was no swelling, no marks, no bruising on her shoulder where the mule kicked her. She was healed. Just like that. How can you deny a miracle? You know, kids are the easiest ones to convince that miracles are real. They are. I could take that children's church group anywhere I wanted, and there wherever they went, they laid hands on people and prayed for people, and they got healed. We went to a Christian radio station, and it was a TV station. And I didn't know it, but when we got there, I made the plans, and after we were going to go visit the TV station, because we did a series called TV and Me, the 13 Rules of Watching Television. And then we was going to go have pizza at the big pizza parlor. But when we got to the TV station, it says, we're going on live television with your kids right now. Wait a minute, you hear what I'm saying? You're going on live television with about 60 kids right now. I looked at Joyce and said, we're fired. And so they introduced us and the kids, we just happened to have a song in the van and found a tape, a disc or a tape, and Joyce had a song, so they opened the TV service with the children all singing. And I asked the guy, well, what do you plan to do? He said, I'm going to interview them. I'm going to interview the kids. I said, just start picking them out. So we started bringing kids up and he'd set them down and start talking to them. And all of a sudden, those kids started talking about the miracles that God did in Children's Church. How they had nothing and God provided them food and clothes, and how they were just sharing. A lot of these kids were bussed in to our church, and they just, for an hour, these kids came up and there was just telling of all the good things God did for them. And when the program was over, the director of the program, he came out and he knelt down and the kids got around him, and he was just slain in the spirit, folks. He couldn't get up off the floor. The kids had prayed for him. See, it's easy for me today to tell you what kids can do because kids love God. You tell them he's their Lord, their Savior, that there's power in his name, and they just take it and believe it. I've got to take another 45 minutes, an hour, to convince all of you that they're right. Are you ready? All right. Do you need a miracle? My question is to you, do you need a miracle? So many people are bombarded with overwhelming problems, overdue bills that need paying, crippled in arthritis, a mother has just been diagnosed with incurable cancer, an abusive spouse maybe, or a rebellious child, maybe even an unsaved grandchild. The list of heartaches and tragedies and painful circumstances seem endless. Anybody find a part of that? Strange, when we look into the faces of the loved ones, our friends, or strangers, we just don't know the heavy burden they may be carrying. On the outside, they smile and mask their pain. But when we ask how things are going, they say politely, fine. Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing on the Sunday morning and they say, fine? It can be an attempt to hide the deep hurts on the inside. You know, folks, I knew I was a deacon in our church we were at prior to coming here. And I just loved to be around him on Sunday mornings because when he would go up and greet people, he would go up and say, good morning, how are you? And the person would usually say, fine. Then he would do something a little different I've never seen done before. He would walk right up to him, he'd look him right in the eye, and he'd say, no, really, how are you? See, there's a difference to say, how are you? And going to somebody and say, brother, really, really, how are you? And I see him minister time and again, time and again. He'd see him ministering all over the congregation prior to the service because he wasn't just a greeter. He didn't do it out of his mind. He greeted out of his heart because he really, really cared about how you felt. He really, really cared whether you needed help. He really, really cared if he could help you, he would. Isn't that awesome? Just that little bit right there is a miracle. He chose to do his part to serve the church and serve the Lord. He cared. That's what matters. You got to know when people care, they love you, right? Meanwhile, in their hearts, they're crying out to God, in desperation. Where are you? Ever been there? God, where are you? God, why don't you help me? Where is my miracle? Has anybody been there? God, where is my miracle? You know, sometimes a lot of things happen to us, just bang, bang, bang. And we don't understand why. We say, Lord, why is all this happening to me at once? And the answers can be very difficult, but the answer is God, trust God. He has an answer for you. The truth is that you may be someone who is crying out to God to intervene with a miracle in the midst of your desperate situation. You know, there's a lot of times that we think that our situation is so bad God can't heal it. It's so bad we can't share it. My heart hurts so bad nobody could understand how I feel, but I want you to know there's people here that would pray with you and minister to you. Turn with me, if you would, to our text this morning. It's in 2 Kings Chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. I tell you, this is, if you think you can't, God can't touch you, watch what happens in this story. God knows. So we're in 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. Mortally means close to death, if you didn't understand. Mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Asa, came to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now, if Isaiah the prophet came to me and told me I was going to die, and he was Isaiah the prophet, I think I would probably believe him. Are you with me? Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember how I, O Lord, I beseeched you, and how I have walked before you in truth and with the whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly before Isaiah Before Isaiah had gone out to the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, and saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayers, I have seen your tears, and behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you from this city in the hands of the kings of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Wow. Then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of figs," and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps?" Now the shadow was produced by the sun. Is that right? Y'all understand that. Okay. So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to go climb 10 steps, let the shadow turn backwards 10 steps." Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow onto the stairway back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaziah. What makes that so significant is this. You got to realize something. The earth is spinning. God put it on a little spin. Everybody know that God set that earth on the spin? The only way that shadow can go backwards, the earth has got to stop. And it's got to rotate the other way. Do you get it? How big is our God? How big is God in our life? He can stop the turn of this planet and back it up 10 steps just for you. Just for you, God could do this great feat. That's how much he loves you this morning. That's how much he cares this morning. That is a God that saw the heart of Hezekiah. He saw Hezekiah crying. He saw him grieving. He saw him asking for forgiveness. He saw him say, "Lord, purge me from my sin. Purge me from anything that brings dishonor to you, Lord." And he said, "God, don't you remember the things that I've done?" And God gave him 15 more years. Praise the Lord. Who has the ability to give more years to your life? God. God can answer that for you. Jesus is our healer. Everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened. Anybody believe that? Just look in the New Testament. Hungry people were fed. Sick people were healed. Demonized people were set free. Dead people came back to life. Whoa. That'd be a shaker, wouldn't it? You put grandpa in the grave and you go home, he's sitting there waiting on you. That's what it says. Dead people came back to life. Man, Jesus had some power, didn't he? Oh, to be like Jesus. Being around Jesus was never boring. I bet that's true. But while he made many people glad, he made others mad. He was a threat to the status quo. And folks, I want to tell you something. We need to be a threat to the status quo of this nation, of this country, and this city, and this county. Status quo will get you nowhere, but Jesus will give you eternal life. Amen? And even more than that, he was a threat to Satan's kingdom. And I love this because the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Do you believe that? I'm going to tell you something. If the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil, why are we suffering so sometimes? Somewhere between, I believe that this is a pulpit, I believe this is a jacket, I believe that's paper Kleenexes down there, somewhere, somehow, we lose the power of God's Spirit. We lose the power of prayer, the power of the miracle that we can be doing each and every day. God did miracles every day, and He wants us to do miracles as well. Not us, but through Jesus and through Him, the miracles are done. Our faith has to be bigger. Hezekiah's faith was great. He had faith that God would hear him. He rolled over. He prayed. He cried. And he crawled out to God to save himself, to save his life. And God gave him 15 more years. Every time I read the gospel, I'm always amazed by Jesus' compassion for people. He was all longing to give them a miracle that they needed. Who else could ask such a question like this? What do you want me to do for you? That's in Mark 10:36. The two apostles wanted to sit at his right hand and his left hand in heaven. But you know, the Lord told him, that place is only for my Father to decide. He said, but you can't take up my cup. Whatever the need, he was able to meet it. Isn't that awesome? So do you realize today Jesus is asking you the very same question? He reaches out His mighty hand, He asks you, what do you want me to do for you? Is that a rejection? No, it isn't, is it? He's looking at you as His loving kids, and He's saying, listen, I have everything you need. I can take care of you. He is inviting you to share the deepest needs of your heart. God saw Hezekiah's heart, and God sees your heart as well. That's how much He loves you. He sees what's in your heart. How will you answer Him? What kind of divine miracle do you need from Him today? I've been through seeing some families in the last couple of weeks, and I've actually prayed this prayer, Lord, how can we help them? How can we get them out of this cycle? How can we break the demonic spirit that's entangling them and carving them up and robbing them and stealing from them and tearing them down? It's out there. It's around us, all around us. People that are struggling so bad have no hope. But there's hope in Jesus. God wants to prosper you. Amen? I know many Christians who need a miracle, but they are afraid to ask for one. You know, it's crazy. God wants to do miracles, but we're afraid to ask for one. I remember a camp. There was a young lady, and she was in a wheelchair, and they rolled her up to the front of children's, the camp front and at the church or the chapel were there. And she was in a wheelchair. And one of the pastors, associate pastors, that was a children's pastor, and I were standing on the opposite side of the platform from where she was, and that was a girl in his church. And I said, why don't you go up there and pray for her? I didn't know at the time that was her, that she went to his church. And he goes, what if I pray and she doesn't get healed? Oh, and that just devastated me. I thought, what? He goes, well, she's in my church, and that's her mom right there rolling her up. And what if I go pray for her and she doesn't get healed? Nothing happens. I looked him right in the eye and said, but what if it does? Is it not worth the risk? Is it not worth it to go forth and just do what's on your heart? And God will honor the rest. It's not you anyway, brother. It's God. If God wants her healed right there and then, she'll be healed. So I went up to pray with her. And it was sad. It broke my heart because the mom had a funny thought. She said, this really isn't a big enough arena for my daughter's healing. Stepped back 3 times. Felt my heart, see if it was still there because it was breaking. What a sad state of affairs. But how many times have we done the very same thing? When God has called us to speak in tongues, when God has called us to pray, when God has called us to interpret, when God has called us to work in the manifestations of the Spirit, when God has called us to be teachers, when God has called us to do all the works of the church, and we find ourselves twiddling our thumbs, what difference is that then? I'm just waiting for a bigger theater. Broke my heart. broke my heart. Some may be leery of asking for a miracle because of unbelief. They don't believe in God. How sad, because that's a lost soul. They don't believe that He still performs miracles today. They have lost trust in God. They don't believe that they are worthy of receiving a miracle. And we know who that is. The author of that is the devil. He's always there lying. He's always there trying to deceive. But God isn't a respecter of person, and He wants to prosper you in every area of your life. He really does. He cares about every aspect of your life, your job, your family, your kids, your great-grandkids, grandkids. He is very concerned about it. He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you wisdom and knowledge and how to handle all these things. He really does. In John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respect you may prosper, be in good health, just as your soul prospers." In all respect. That means every ounce of your life, your home life, your church life, your work life, God wants to prosper you. And be in good health. To prosper means to flourish, to succeed, to have wealth. God wants to make you completely whole in your relationship, your finances, your body, and your spirit. Praise God. How can you know if it's your time for a miracle? Because God says so. Turn with you to 2 Corinthians 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You know, it's one thing about God. When He tells us something in our heart, He backs it up in His Word. Isn't that awesome? When the Holy Spirit gets on you and tells you to do something, guess what? Somewhere in Scripture, it applies. The Word of God is telling you exactly what you need to know. It says, "For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 2:6-2. God wants to save, help, and heal you when? Now. Why are we waiting? Why do we have disbelief? He wants to do it all now. Your miracle can come today. You know, I tell you what, I see Miss Renee coming through this door, folks. I've seen it in a dream, and she's right coming through this door. And you know what she's doing? She isn't crawling on her hands and knees. She's coming out like this. And she's jumping and rejoicing and turning and spinning and celebrating Jesus. I have seen this in a dream. And I said, "Lord, make it so." And why not? He said, we have all authority, all power. All the power that resonates through Christ can resonate through us. We just got to believe. Somewhere we got to get past, this is just a coat. This is a pew. We can understand that. We got to get to the things of God that are harder to understand. That God Himself will reveal to you. He doesn't want to hide stuff from you. He wants to reveal His goodness and His love and His mercy and His grace to you in every area of your life. He wants to use you. He wants you to be a tool that fits in His hand perfectly. That He can use you for the kingdom of God to win souls for this city, souls for this community. Get people in here saved and baptized and born again. And get these people alive and fired up about the things of God. Too long we're just passive. Just passive. We pass on through the day. But God wants us to be excited about what each day has we have to take. I'm excited about every day. Ask Joy. She'll tell you. You know what you have to do? You have to get your feet wet. You got to dive in over your head. You got to get totally involved, totally immersed in the things of Jesus. You got to get into His Word and into His life and into His works. Great and mighty things He has done, but things we shall also be able to do as well. God's deep love for you. Our best example I can offer to communicate God's love, loving Father heart to you is to draw a parallel between Him and loving, caring parents. How many here are loving, caring parents? I know a lot of you are. Would you, of a loving, caring parent, want to see your children poor? No. Naked? No. Starving? Sick? bruised, broken, depressed, and lonely? Of course not. But they're out there like that. Wouldn't you do anything in your power to change the situation if you could? I would. Yeah? I'm a parent, for heaven's sake. That's my job. Watch out for my kids, my grandkids. Clearly you would. Haven't there been some times when you wish you could suffer on behalf of your children so he or she wouldn't have to bear the pain and endure the desperate situation? You ever been there? Let me just do this for you, child. Let me take the pain for you. Let me take care of it, for you don't have to. But that rarely works. This is what I know. This is exactly how our loving, caring Heavenly Father feels about you. He loves you that much. He desires no pleasure in seeing His children suffer. Isaiah 53 conveys His deep love for us. It says, "Surely our grief He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastising of our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed." Folks, that is amazing scripture because it has the blood of Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus through the blood of Jesus. It has a covenant relationship that can never be broken. God's promises to us that He will watch over us. He'll take care of us. And His scourging, we are healed. That's a miracle, isn't it? That's a miracle. It's time to receive your miracle now. How many want it now? How many even need one? Oh, there's lots of hands out there. I'm not preaching to a dead audience. I'm glad somebody out there needs it. I'd be sad if I got through and nobody needed a miracle. Maybe I have to get down here and help. Have JD help me out down here. You know, timing is an essential key to God's plan and purpose. Scripture teaches us that God makes divine appointments. Hello? God makes divine appointments for specific times to meet with His children. For example, He made dates on His calendar to meet with us to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. In John 11, there was a powerful story that emphasized the importance of God's miraculous timing. That is a great story. If I'll remember it, I'll tell it to you. I got it. It talks about Lazarus, the story of Lazarus. What a great story. Jesus' friend Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. He could have gone to him to heal Lazarus when he first heard that his friend was sick, but he waited until Lazarus had died. That doesn't make sense. Or he could have raised Lazarus the same day he died. Instead, he chose to wait 2 days more, telling his disciples, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Why would he say that? "I am glad for your sake that I was not there." Well, there's some symbolism here. Lazarus was in the grave how many days? How many days was Jesus in the grave? Does Jesus use illustrations to show what's going to take place in the future? Does he not prepare us? If you're in stress and you're needing God's miracle, He's going to prepare you for it. He's going to get you ready for the miracle. Jesus arrived at the right time on the right day to resurrect Lazarus. Why did He delay Lazarus' resurrection? To build their faith so that you may believe. Faith is the key. Faith was the key. He knew that He was going to leave the disciples, and He wanted them to be able to raise what? Raise the dead. He wanted them to do the same thing that He did. See, miracles didn't stop with Jesus. They just got started. The disciples went forth and did great, great things for the Lord. The right timing for your miracle is God's timing. Hello? How many like to rush God? How many like fast food? Fast sermons? Fast prayer. But God knows exactly what you need when you have need of it. His timing is perfect. Number one, God wants to meet with you. Number two, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Isn't that great? And number three, this is your hour. Build yourself up to overflowing with God's faith. You know what it lacks? Faith. Like I said, you can see the coat, but you got to have faith for a miracle. And where do we lose what we can believe in and what we can't believe in? You know, it's in that the way it is. I've searched myself. I said, Lord, I've seen miracles. And I've seen, been to big revivals. I've been up where Benny Hinn was preaching and saw miracle after miracle after miracle, people getting saved and miracles, people falling in the Spirit. And we were in the nosebleed section right close to heaven up there, the last pew, the last, and we could see the whole auditorium just about, couldn't we? And, you know, it was just a mass of humanity going down for salvation and going down for healings. There were so many they couldn't even get them in down to the front. So they were asking pastors in the audience to stand up so that they could go and minister to people in the area. Catherine Kuhlman, I imagine she might have had a couple of resurrections, you think? How powerful is the Word of God? How powerful is God's Word to us? We got to go there and not get caught up with all the little trivial things that keep us from being a powerhouse for God. And building this church is everybody's responsibility, because if we are all acting on the way God directs our lives, there'd be a light shining in here. There'd be a beacon for this city. So many people are already talking about this church, how they help people and how they love on people. Has anybody ever been walking through the door and you got kicked out? I don't think so. You might have got your hand shaken off. You might have got a few extra hugs. You might have got an invitation to lunch. You might have got about how many are here smiling? A lot of smiles, a lot of greeting. But you know what? We want you to prosper in Jesus. We want you to know that God loves you and we love you. You know, there's one more story I want to share. And just, you know, I want you to build your faith, because God is going to do mighty things. Get ready for what God's going to be doing here, because there's a mighty work coming. A mighty work coming. If you look at this world and all around us, it's hurting. It's a very painful world. We can't even go out on the streets. You know, you worry about what's going to happen on the streets, what's going to happen to the theater. But I know one thing, God protects his children. He protects those that love him. Amen? There was a beggar, and he was crippled in his feet from birth. Crippled in his feet from birth. That's a long time to be crippled, isn't it? He was an older man now, and they used to carry him to the gate at the temple so he could ask for alms. Give me alms, alms, alms for the poor. And people would put money in his little cup at the temple gate, temple beautiful. And one day, Peter and John are walking up to the temple, and he sees them, and he asks them for alms. He asked him for alms. What does Peter say? Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you freely. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, if you read that a little further down the line, he rises up and he walks, and then he jumps and he dances and he spins, and he's running and jumping and dancing and celebrating and praising and giving God glory. Because what happened? Somebody had faith. Somebody said, when I touch him, when I reach my hand to him, he's going to get up and be healed. I want to see that every Sunday. Hello? Running and jumping and celebrating. It's in the Word. Can you imagine what John and them were saying? They're walking with this guy. Slow down. Slow down. Stop a little bit here. Give us a break. You're running. You're jumping. You're wearing us out. But that's how big our God is. He loves us that much. Jared, would you come? if he's still here. He's coming. I want to close this up this morning. You know, God's miracle for you and me is now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And he continues to work miracles in the lives of his children every day. Remember, you're a child, his child. And he's going to do a miracle for you every day. It's my earnest prayer that your heart will be completely open to what only God can do for you through his miracle-working power. You know, this same God is your Heavenly Father, and he loves you. He cares about you. He wants to do good things for you. As a child of God, you have access to all he is and possesses. How much does God possess? Everything. And you have access to it as a child of God. Everything. Don't get half a shopping cart when you can get a full one. Hello? God only has his best for us, not his worst. And he's promised us a future that is better each and every day. One day at a time, loving on Jesus. My question for you today, is anyone here today that says, Pastor Rick, I need a miracle. I don't see any way out. My situation is just getting worse, and I've prayed. I need an answer to prayer, and I need a miracle. So I want everyone to stand, because I know that covers a lot of people. I know many of your lives. I know what you've been going through. Moses went through a lot, didn't he? A lot of miracles. The fiery furnace couldn't burn the Hebrew children up, could it? God did a miracle. David slew Goliath. What a miracle. So what is the giant that's in front of you that's keeping you from coming and receiving what God wants to give you? A miracle today.